So I was just, you know, starting off the show here, Jack, and just in case I didn't tell you already, Ross will be joining us in just a couple minutes later on in the first period. So yeah, I mean, we discussed topics coming into the show, I guess, before we get into topics. Why not catch everybody up on the Philadelphia Flyers, who recently snapped their 10-game losing streak, first of this season, third in the last year or so. So they beat the New York Islanders the other night 3-1. They now stand 8 wins, 10 losses, and 5 overtime losses on the season. They are second to last in the Metro Division. Lots changed. The Metro Division is led by the New Jersey Devils, who stand at 19-4. With one of those four losses coming to the Philadelphia Flyers. Flyers play the Devils Saturday night at home. Second place, the New York Islanders, who are 8 points behind New Jersey at 15-9, who the Flyers just beat 3-1 the other night. Carolina in third, 12-6-5, 29 points. Pittsburgh at 11-8-4, 26 points. Prayers out to Chris Letang, who just suffered his second stroke, which is some scary stuff there. I'm sure we'll touch on that at some point later tonight. The New York Rangers, 11-9-4, kind of showing their true colors a little bit this season. They're not getting Vezina-caliber goaltending at the moment from Igor Shesterkin, and kind of showing what they are a little bit. We'll get to them, I'm sure. Washington Capitals, surprisingly, 10-11-3, 23 points, just 2 points ahead of the Flyers. And then, of course, the Flyers in Columbus is 7-12-2, 5 points behind the Philadelphia Flyers with just 16 points. So that's where the Flyers are in the standings. They're just coming off a 10-game losing streak. They recorded their first win Tuesday night against the Islanders, their first win since we last did a live stream, Jack, against the St. Louis Blues when they won 5-1. That's crazy to think about that.
What a different time, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they dominated the Blues, and then they proceeded to lose the next 10 games. Pretty wild stuff.
All right, we got to get them back on a 10-game losing streak again.
Yeah, seriously. So let me just open this up here. So the Flyers had some interesting – they had a press conference today. And John Tortorella had some interesting things to say. I don't know. Did you have a chance to see that or hear any of it?
I don't think I saw the whole thing, but I saw some interesting tidbits.
Yeah, I'm looking for the transcribed version, and I don't think it came out yet.
I thought if Meltzer puts that on some outlets. Let me take a look.
I have video, but I will not play video. Did the puck drop? Because I forgot there is a game tonight.
And I just see commercials still.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, interesting stuff tonight. So, Tortorella, if fans are paying attention, he's dropping little nuggets. I don't know if he's doing it intentionally or if he just can't help himself. But something's brewing as far as a potential change in leadership and management. I don't know necessarily that it means someone's going to be fired or if positions are just going to be swapped around. Something's going on, though. And I think... And even last week, Al Morgani mentioned it as well. He mentioned John Tortorella is talking like the general manager already with, you know, in regards to, you know, I got to see what these guys are. I'm evaluating the lineup kind of thing. Like, general managers usually talk like that. Coaches are all X's and O's and, you know, things like that. We think back a little bit, and even in the off season. Torts was kind of like, you know, we're going to see what we are this year. We don't know who's going to be around. He hasn't wavered from that. He's been talking like that the entire time he's been here, right? Like, you know what I'm saying, Jack? Like, he's always had his focus on who's going to be here next year, who's going to be here next year, who's not going to be here next year. And he's repeatedly said it. You know, he's evaluating the roster to see which players are going to stick around and which ones aren't, because not all of them are going to be here. And somebody asked the question today, you know, there are players with contracts, you know, long-term contracts. when you say players might not be here if they don't play his way, are those guys on the bubble? Because it's kind of a tough situation. He admitted, yeah, it's tough because obviously they're on a contract, but you know, he's in talks with Chuck. He's had conversations. He's initiated conversations about those guys. And you know, Jack, when you think of guys on long-term contracts that could potentially not be here in a season or so or two, what names come to mind?
Ristolainen, Kevin Hayes. I mean, I don't know how movable Ristolainen is, but it seems more and more like Hayes could be. I can't think of anybody else that has a really long-term contract. I mean, maybe Provorov or Konechny. I don't think so, but I think anybody. It means anybody, really. So those are the guys that come to mind. I think definitely Hayes. And yeah, if they don't want to play the Flyer away, then you're going to have to find a way to get rid of them instead of just letting them, you know, sit here and get that country club feel. Tortorella is not going to stand for that. So that's exactly what I wanted to hear. You know, a year ago, you know, when we were talking about the Flyers getting a new coach, obviously not quite a year, but we were like, it's win-win. And this is one of the reasons why if they were going to be bad, it was still a win having Tortorella, is getting rid of the bad blood. If you're going to change the culture and this is a stabilization year and you can't win, this is exactly what you're going to do. You're going to get these kind of guys. You're going to evaluate to see who these guys are who aren't part of the Flyer way, and you're going to get them out. If Tortorella feels he can't bring them over to his style of play, you know, and what he wants to see effort-wise, then off they go. And that's exactly what we need. You got to change that locker room culture. We've seen a lot of turnover, and they're not going to stop there. They're going to want to see some more. So hopefully that put a lot of guys on notice. And ultimately, I expect some tough contracts to be moved at some point. I do think that it needs to happen. So I loved hearing it. It just backed up what we were saying last season.
Yeah. It was interesting hearing. I mean, it was around this time last year when Alain Vigneault was fired. And I think even, I don't know how long it's been now, it's all been kind of a blur the last 4 or 5 years. I think it's around the similar time when Hextall was let go. I don't remember when Fletcher was hired, but like now's the time between now and Christmas or a little bit after Christmas when things are made. This way, whoever takes over now has January, February, March, April. They have a good 3.5-4 months to, you know, get their ducks in a row for the offseason.
Yeah, Vigneault was fired, I want to say, either the last week of November or the first week of December. I'm leaning towards last week of November. Hextall was, like, right after the Black Friday game, I think. I think that was Friday, and he was fired that Monday or something like that. And it's exactly it. Whether it's the coach or the new GM, it's an evaluation year. You come in, you see top to bottom what you're looking at. That's what most organizations do. This team tends to, at least with the front office, they tend to stick with the same people running the show voices-wise and typically just add somebody. So I'm not 100% sure how that's going to go down. Best case scenario, I think everybody's kind of leaning Danny Briere to some regard. Hopefully he wasn't too, brainwashed is probably a bad way of saying it, by, you know, some Fletcher tendencies and whatnot. And even some old alumni that typically have a voice in how things that they used to do that we know no longer work. You know, we just need a brand new voice from outside of the organization. I think is Briere, having not had been here as long as some of those other alumni names, when you think of Holmgren and Clark and like names of that, you know, those people, I'm willing to work with him. Now, speaking with somebody outside of the organization who's talking like an assistant general manager, yeah, John Tortorella's voice is going to have a huge impact, and it absolutely should. He's one nobody else here has. So, I mean, yeah, it could be the beginning of us seeing that turnover, and I think we're all pretty excited for that. So as much as I hate to see the team lose, if it ultimately means good things for the future, then, you know, I'll stick it out, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And my apologies. I'm trying to work Russ in here. I think he's in the room. I just can't get him in. Saying logged out. Oh, there he is. Joy on Broad. That would be Russ. So I will invite our guest to the stage. He will accept. We will give him a mic. And we'll get the show on the road. Got some good topics for everybody. by the way. Gonna have to do some editing for tonight.
I'm curious how it's gonna come out.
All right, I think we got him in.
There he is.
Hey, there he is.
Hey there, Chance.
The man, the myth, the legend. This is to you. Can you hear us, Russ?
I can hear you.
Beautiful.
Here, raise my voice. Jack, can you hear him okay?
Yeah, fine.
Russ, say hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Yeah, I came through fine.
What do you think about this little setup we got here? Something different, you know?
I'm trying to get the lay of the land. I'm like currently trying to unlock the stream with my my provider.
Oh, really? Who do you have?
Yeah, YouTube TV.
That should work.
Yeah. So I'm doing that while listening to you guys, and I don't know. We gonna have a Black Thursday?
Yeah. It kind of sounded like it this morning, didn't it? What did you take away from that? Because we were just talking about that, and you know, we were comparing last year. Alain Vigneault was canned around this time. I think Hextall was canned around the same time whenever he was let go. And then listening to Torts, not just today, but in his last couple pressers, conferences, he I don't know, there's something going on there. You know, he even mentioned Briere, I think it was yesterday or the other day, gave him some kudos. He doesn't talk about Chuck the same way as he complimented Briere like that. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's abundantly clear that the power struggle that was, I think, fully anticipated has come to fruition, and that it's very clear that one of these guys is going to survive and one isn't. And the one who's not going to survive happens to be the one that's the president of hockey ops. He's dead. He's dead in the water. It's just a matter of how long Spectacor wants to allow him to. I don't even know what the best way to put it is at this point. Like, he is a waste. He is a waste of an executive. He is he's been given far too much time. He's been given far too much control of the short term and the long term. He's burdened this team with long term deals that don't make sense. He's given out contracts that simply are they would be bad for a rookie executive, let alone one that's had over a decade in this league. And I genuinely am at a spot where I keep coming back to, does Spectacor feel like letting this guy go now sends the wrong message because they let him have another offseason? And now it looks like a panic move. But in fairness, there aren't other GMs that survived this many 10-game losing streaks. It is mind-numbing to think that anybody could sit back and say, well, this isn't at all on Chuck. None of it is. To me, we're in a point now where we're about 18 months late on the moving on from Chuck Fletcher. You've allowed him to make potentially franchise-crippling moves and give out long-term deals at high AAVs that should not have been given out. And the sooner he's gone, the better. The question just becomes, you know, are you going to hand this over for a few months to Danny Briere? Like, is that the fix? Because I'm not convinced that that's the way to go. You know, we talked about this on Snow the Goalie today, but like, Danny Briere has rubber stamped all of these moves. There's been no mention. There have been no rumors coming out. There have been no leaks that have in any way indicated that Danny Briere was against the Ristolainen deal, was against the Sanheim deal, was against the Nick Delorier deal. None of that. You know, usually if you have a dissenter, that becomes very clear, becomes abundantly clear, and it becomes the thing that multiple people will tell you. That has not been the case. So either Danny Briere didn't have the chutzpah to stand up and say this is not okay, or he fell in line with Chuck Fletcher, in which case he needs to go as well. I don't know what you do to bridge the gap for the next few months, but my thought would be take the next 6 months, comb this league for the best up-and-coming executives, and then have it ready that by the time the playoffs roll around, you're conducting interviews and setting a vision in place for this team for the offseason. Get them in here in enough time that it's not a rush to the draft, and get this thing turned around quickly. But if they're going to hang on to this guy for a few more months, I think they're just doing more damage than they need to.
I like that you said that. I feel like I get the sense from you that you think this can be turned around somewhat quickly. And Jack, before I give my thoughts there, I want to kind of hear what you think there.
No, I couldn't agree more. I've said before that I don't want, and he already has, but I don't want Fletcher to, the longer he lingers around, you know, Shirelli us and sign a backup goalie to like a multi-year deal. And it's, then finally Edmonton stepped in and they're like, all right, that's enough. We got to take your hands off the wheel here. Like, what's the point? Why leave him lingering like that so he could do something similar? It makes no sense. Like, are they really unsure of who to make the next GM or whatnot? Like, I don't know. It just feels like the longer he's here, the more there is for something bad to happen. And he's already been given more than enough rope, so it just seems silly at this point. You know how I feel about Fletcher. I'm done. Once he doubled down on Ristolainen, man, I was kind of like, yeah, I don't know. I did have my doubts, and now I'm like, oh, boy, this is only going to get worse before it gets better. But I would like to eventually see it start to get better, so maybe we should start that process.
Yeah. And so here's what I think, and I'm going to give you – my whole picture here, and eventually I'll get to, you know, Russ, you think it can be turned around somewhat quickly, and I would agree there, but here's my thing. It is weird that they kept Fletcher around through the offseason, unless this entire time they've been kind of secretly looking for his replacement. Maybe they feel like Danny Briere is not quite ready, and, you know, maybe, I'm not sure. So you keep Fletcher around. You know, you sign a guy like Sanheim who, you know, analytically, I guess he's a good defenseman. I think my dog's going to bark here. He's joining the show.
Your dog doesn't like Travis Sanheim. or analytics. It's one or the other. Not sure which.
Or does he have poor analytics this year, Sanheim?
Does it matter?
No, I mean, so he's Flyers with a scoring chance there. So. He's supposed to be here for offense. The signing I can somewhat understand. I don't like it, but I also understand where you're coming from with, you know, someone's stamping off on that. No one's pushing back on re-signing Sanheim long-term. So my original thought was, before I was rudely interrupted, they're keeping Chuck Fletcher around to sort of take the blame. Like, they were always going to stink this season, and they just finished another 10-game losing streak. If they were to fire Fletcher over the offseason, and I don't know, let's say they promoted Briere to the GM role, he would be the guy during all this. He would have just endured a 10-game losing streak in his first 2-3 months of the season. You know, fans already would be like, okay, maybe Briere's not the guy. He needs to be trading this guy. He needs to be trading that guy. And you see it all over Twitter already. Like, people are coming up with the most irrational trades and whatnot. So I think they're sort of protecting Briere while bringing him along and letting Fletcher kind of take, you know, the brunt of all the BS, which he deserves. So I think between now and Christmas, I think there's a good chance that he's gone. And my original thought was, okay, you promote Briere, but I don't see the harm in, you know, leaving the GM position vacant for a little bit. And maybe there is somebody else out there to fill that spot.
They will not do that.
Who really knows if Briere's ready to take over? I think we all like the idea. A lot of people, I think everybody loved Danny Briere, the hockey player. But what has he shown at the NHL level that he could be a good NHL GM? So that's kind of my thought process there. You know, as far as turning this around quickly, I think it can be done. It's not going to be easy. I think guys like Hayes and Ristolainen need to somehow be moved. And if you open up that cap and, you know, I don't know, maybe they pick up somebody in the draft and they're able to somehow sign somebody in the offseason, they could turn things around quickly. A center, I mean, sign a center because they don't need any more wingers. And their D's kind of set up for a little bit. But I think they could turn it around quick. And I don't think Torts is looking for a 2-3 year turnaround. I think he's looking for next year. Let's go. What do you guys think?
You go ahead, Russ. You're our guest.
Well, you don't take this job on the premise that this is going to be a 2-3 year rebuild,
right,
or retool, which is why this coach never made sense. Coach never made sense if you had a brain in the thing that's connected to the neck and above your shoulders. Never made sense, because when this GM went out and talked about the aggressive retool and then pivoted without telling anybody that this was going to be a sign mediocre players, roll with incredible thin, a thin roster that could not afford any of their either injury prone players or players who are coming off of major injuries or major surgeries to stay healthy and also step up and play arguably the best season of their career. When that became the plan, and you hired the coach that's going to raise your floor, none of it ever made sense. So Tortorella, like, the second Tortorella took this job, I am 100% convinced he came into this organization saying, I'm going to have things my way. My goal is to come in here with carte blanche. I'm going to get this guy out. If he can't get the job done, if he can't make the moves that need to be made, he'll be gone. I'll have to deal with him for 6 months, and then I'm going to get to help handpick the next GM. I am 100% convinced that that is what John Tortorella thought going into this situation. Because anybody from the outside who looked at this team and looked at the situation said there is no chance Chuck Fletcher makes it through this entire season, especially given the lack of depth and the lack of overall talent this team had. Like, remember, they were probably a bottom five, bottom seven team in terms of just talent, but they had no cap space to start the season. Like, you almost have to try to screw that up. Like, if you were playing the NHL video game, it would be difficult for you to put yourself into as much of a cap hell situation with as many meddling to bad players on the roster as this guy did. So if you're John Tortorella and you've been around the game and you spent a year, by the way, in the studio assessing these teams and assessing these front offices for your job, well, any intelligent person would say, I can go there. I know I'm going to get a lot of money to coach. I know I'm going to have multiple years. And I know that this guy's got a short leash and I can pick the next GM. That's why you saw him go out and publicly defend and publicly tout Danny Briere. I don't know if it's because he thinks Danny Briere is a good executive, but I think what he does think is that he can have an influence over Danny Briere, that perhaps Danny Briere will be amenable to him. I don't want to say that Danny Briere will bend the knee to John Tortorella, but he certainly isn't going to stand in stark contrast to Tortorella's beliefs. They're not going to clash heads or, you know, clash minds as much as he might with Fletcher. So none of this surprises me. But it all comes back to, you made a mistake in the offseason by bringing this guy in if your ultimate plan was to field this team. And so none of it has ever actually made sense, you know?
So let me ask you this. Did you buy into any of the, I mean, I'm sure you know, like around this time last year, obviously, Vigneault was fired. They were looking for a coach. Rumor has it, Fletcher wanted somebody else. He wanted, I think, I was hearing talking. Maybe you could tell me something different if you know for sure. And then it was, what I was hearing later on was, Dave Scott wants Fletcher. Everybody wants Fletcher. I'm sorry. Everybody wants Tortorella. The only guy holding that up was Fletcher. Then the offseason, I think it was, and Sanfilippo that came out and said the Flyers have hired an outside firm to evaluate, you know, their the right head coach. Yep. And I think, if I remember correctly, the outside firm decided that John Tortorella was the man that the organization needed. And it somewhat overrided Fletcher, I guess, right? He was kind of, you know, submissed into hiring Torts. Is at least that's how I perceived it, right? So if you're Fletcher, like, your kryptonite is the head coach. Like, you have a strong, passionate, outspoken, brutally honest head coach. And I kind of view Chuck Fletcher as the opposite of that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Were you kind of hearing the same stuff there?
The organization was interested in having Trotz take over.
Okay.
But Trotz made it pretty clear to them early on that the interest wasn't exactly mutual. He kept them in, you know, he kept them in on the, I don't want to say he like teased them. I think that he genuinely didn't know if he wanted to coach this year. I think he wanted to hear out all the different teams. I think there were five teams that were interested in some way, shape, or form or interviewed Trotz. I think ultimately he decided that none of these situations are perfect. And honestly, he might have looked at some of these and been like, you know what? this team, especially for the Flyers, this team isn't good enough, and I don't have faith in this GM. And what I can tell you is, ownership made it clear that they were not going to move on from Chuck Fletcher. So if you were coming in as a coaching candidate, you weren't being told, if you come here, you're going to also be able to have influence in who takes over in the front office. This, for whatever reason, ownership was committed to Chuck Fletcher. So if you're Barry Trotz and you come in and you say, all right, I'm pretty confident this guy can't get the job done. I'm going to lose him in 6 months. Do I want to have to sit here and go through this? Do I want to waste? Remember, Trotz and Tortorella, neither of them are young, right? It's not to say that if you're in your 60s that you're old, but like in coaching terms, you're old. And so do you really want to go through, you know, a camp, a draft, 6 months of a bad season, waste a year, and hope that the team is smart enough to make a good executive hire mid-season? Maybe you do, but I think that's why Trotz didn't take this job. And I honestly think it's why he probably ultimately chose not to take other jobs as well. Tortorella, I think, was of the mind, like I said before, like, I think he was more open to the idea of you wait it out, you know? Tortorella to me is like Littlefinger, a little thronesy. Chaos is a ladder. And like Tortorella came in here and like lit the ladder on fire. And every time he goes out and he, you know, makes a comment about how he's not going to throw these players under the bus because they're trying, but he's implying that they're not talented enough to win games, that's throwing gasoline on the ladder fire. And what he's doing is pretty soon he's going to grab Chuck Fletcher by the ankle and he's going to throw him down the rest of the ladder. He's going to go.
I thought you were going to say grab him up.
He's going to maybe grab Danny Breeder's hand and pull him up. Yeah. But like, it ain't good, you know? I actually think it's fine. Like, I don't like the job Chuck Fletcher's done. I think he's been arguably the worst executive in my lifetime of any Philly sports executive. And there have been some bad ones. But when you look at the damage that this guy has done, it far exceeds anything another GM of the Philadelphia Flyers has done in the last 20, 30 years. That he has done more damage long term than Ron Hextall did. Hextall, you know, for as bad of a as he might have been with dealing with alumni, for as close-minded as he might have been, for as bullheaded and bullish as he was on a guy like Nolan Patrick when his scouts said not to take him, like, all right, fine. There were flaws. There were flaws to Ron Hextall. But Ron Hextall didn't lock you into four different contracts or three different contracts that had, you know, 5 or 6 years at $7+ million or close to it. He's now done that with both Ristolainen and Sanheim, had previously done it with Hayes. The only reason that like I'm not ready to like jump out of window is because Kevin Hayes being a point per game guy maybe puts him on the radar of some teams. And like maybe Kevin Hayes finally says, you know what, dude, like, do I want to sit here and deal with John Tortorella for the next 3 years? No, I do not. And like maybe he considers waiving the no trade clause, and then all of a sudden it's fine. But then you still have Ristolainen. Then you still have this bad Sanheim contract. Like, I don't know. Whatever gets Chuck Fletcher out of here faster, I'm here for it. Get this man out.
Okay, Jack, can we follow up?
There's a lot to digest there. I definitely agree with pretty much everything he said. Several Game of Thrones references were fantastic. I definitely caught the bend the knee one as well, not just the latter. But, I mean, when we spoke about Tortorella coming here, I definitely viewed it as a win-win if they were going to. Only because I didn't think, I thought what you had alluded to with the front office and from what we originally viewed it as the locker room, the culture change there, that's what it was going to be about. Everything else kind of patching it together, probably some faster than others, makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense the way Tortorella has been acting. We just heard that he's been. Who'd you have on, Jim? Just had him. Al Morgani saying he's sounding more and more like an assistant GM. And we all are in agreement how bad Fletcher has been. And it's even put it up against Hextall, which has been trending. That poll has been trending. Which one would you prefer to have? I'm seeing a lot of people are all this appreciation for Hextall has been popping out here and there. Even going back to Holmgren, people are like, I'd do anything to get him back. That's how bad things have gotten. And these contracts that we are stuck with. Hextall at least got us out of that at some point. We had some bad contracts when he took over. He freed up a lot of cap space just for Fletcher to just eat it right back up. And not everything was his fault, but I hear the COVID excuse a lot. And it's like, well, the entire league dealt with that. The entire league dealt with that. You know, Niskanen in retirement, okay, that's a little tough. But, like, that shouldn't cripple you. Like, you shouldn't be done. Like, it's ridiculous. It's some of the stupidest excuses. And I kind of like what I'm hearing from this Tortorella standpoint. I've liked everything about him. You heard his pregame today. I mean, it makes me think he was more in it, or maybe he's to say what Russ is saying. If he's talking about the foundation of the team being needed to be fixed, getting guys out of here with bad contracts, it's everything we're talking about, everything we're in agreement about. And it's, yeah, I mean, maybe they can turn around in the year. I don't think so, but I do think that they're going to do whatever they can. And it's 1-0 Tampa. Just right on cue. Perfect.
There we go. Hey, maybe Sanheim tripping fire Chuck tonight, and they'll push him off the balcony.
I don't think if too many people would complain. But it just, I would rather go this direction with Tortorella, and Briere totally makes sense. You know they're not bringing in anybody else. Like, who would even be on the radar? You know, like, they have something set, and Briere is definitely somebody who's going to take, you could almost, I don't want to say manipulate, seems a little rough, but, like, if you're Tortorella and you want a certain set of players and you have pretty much the keys to the kingdom, I mean, I guess that makes him the hand of the king then, if Danny's the king. I mean, I'm just trying to stay with the Game of Thrones references here, you know, a little Lannister and Joffrey going on right there. I mean, things ran pretty smooth then. I'm all about it. I really, they gotta fix the foundation of this team. They gotta get rid of bad contracts. That's exactly what they have to do. I want to see it happen. Right now, it's all talk. But if this is the route that we're going and we're gonna get to, then I'm on board, and I just want to see it to start to get the wheels to get moving. Because I understand what you're saying, Jim, about blaming everything on Fletcher, but we're at the point now where he could be gone for the next 2 years and they're still going to be blaming stuff on Fletcher. So just move on. Let's activate phase two here. And, let's see some real change.
I have good news.
I'm looking more at, like, the corporate perspective. You know how, like, corporations are. It's like, oh, how can we make ourselves look better? Well, we'll pin the blame on this guy. You know, we'll keep him around while we suck. He's the GM. He's responsible for everything. Like, through all of this, you remember last season, and even during the off season, you heard a lot about Danny Briere. People were excited for him. We had him on the show. I haven't heard anybody talk about Danny Briere at all. Like, from anybody. It's been all bad. All eyes are on Chuck Fletcher. No one's focusing on anything positive. It's all Fletcher all the time. Like, he's got to go, right? And I think even the coach is starting to put him out there a little bit. I'm just going to read a quote here. Maybe you guys saw it. You want to comment on it. So this was John Tortorella today. Feel very strong that if you get stuck in the mud, if you continue to put Band-Aids on and gimmicks to get people in the building and whatever it is, you get people in the building and you get it the right way by winning. And the only way you can win is building it the proper way, and that's how we are going to go about it. There's a coach with no influence on the roster talk like that? If I'm the GM and my coach is talking like that, I'm like, yo, buddy, like, I give you the roster. You're in charge of the X and O's. X's and O's. You know what I mean? So he's talking about it in the media like, okay, the roster is not good. Something needs to change with the roster. He's throwing them out there. No more Band-Aids. You know, and unfortunately, I mean, when you think of Band-Aids, I'm looking at guys like Ristolainen, and I'm like, shit, man, that was a massively just a horrible Band-Aid to put on. Like, and why do you have to keep him around for so long? Like,
it wasn't actually a Band-Aid. It was adding infection to a wound.
Yes.
Well, what gets me is the Band-Aid is more so Fletcher's most recent offseason is nothing but Band-Aids. And that's the first thing Tortorella points out is, yeah, we don't need Band-Aids. Band-Aids is bad. And it's just, this is what the guy just did. And that's telling.
I don't know if you guys have gotten this feeling or not, looking at these reverse retros, but it's the first time that I guess I've viewed them like this. But they remind me of the old Phantoms jerseys, and it's kind of fitting in a way, right? That, like, the level of talent, like, if you, until they stand up all the way and you can see the full Flyers crest, you can allow your mind to wander for a second and feel like you're watching the Phantoms taking on the Lightning. That's the kind of team that Chuck Fletcher's put out on the ice,
yeah.
Right? And again, there are injuries. It happens. We get it. Like, injuries are part of the game. But the injuries that occurred, or at least a few of them that occurred, are injuries to players that have had serious surgery or have a history of getting dinged up or a little bit worse. Like, none of this was out of the blue, you know? And Ryan Ellis being out for the rest of the year. Surprise! Surprise, Chuck! You know? You get Tony D'Angelo, who's been fine. Like, I don't think Tony D'Angelo has been bad. But, like, that was your move. All the while, this offseason, kind of hinting at the fact that you expected Ryan Ellis to come back. That's after the previous 6 months where you talked about expecting Ryan Ellis to come back. I mean, he was never coming back.
And he knew.
Ryan Ellis said at one point this past offseason that he intended on trying to play. And that wasn't because he wanted to suit up for the Philadelphia Flyers. He wanted to try to rehab any kind of potential trade value that he could have had to get out of town. Because he and the medical staff didn't agree with his course of treatment. And here's the ultimate newsflash, right? You get these people, and this is where I got really angry a few weeks ago on our show, because somebody made a snide comment about Jim McCrossin and Sal Raffa, who are both, you know, suffering from serious cancer, you know, terminal cancer. And it was on a story that Anthony wrote for Crossing Broad that kind of gave the update on the guys filing an amendment to their lawsuit. It was McCrossin, that McCrossin had been berated and disrespected, and there was like a whole thing. And, you know, some asshole in the comments on Facebook said something to the effect of like, well, good, I hope somebody yells at them because they've done a terrible job. And it's like, all right, let's just assume that we take, you know, Hank from Mayfair. Let's just say we take him at his word, and these guys sucked at their job. Well, newsflash, those guys aren't doing those roles for this team. This team went out and hired, you know, a guru, the guru from Australia, to come in and, like, run the show. Has it worked out, guys? Have the players all of a sudden gotten healthier? Have they avoided injury? Do they look any better now than they did a year ago? The answer is no. Did he unlock Ryan Ellis? Did he fix Ryan Ellis? No, it certainly doesn't appear so if he shut down for another year. It's just, like, the whole thing is maddening. And Chuck Fletcher is, like, the ultimate sleaze, because he will look you dead in the eye, like he did with the media today. He'll look them dead in the eye and say, we believe that we have a chance to compete for a playoff spot because we're not that far behind. When anybody with logic and rationale would look and say, you have the eighth worst record in the NHL, you are certainly in more of a fight for the top pick in the draft than you ever are realistically to be a Stanley Cup contender. There is a difference between, as an executive, saying, we've had a disappointing start to the year, we're really bummed out that some of our key players that we were hoping were going to perform have been injured, but we do believe that when they come back, they could be difference makers, and we might be able to make a playoff push. But you say it like that, right? And you also acknowledge the fact that, like, based on where we're at right now, if things don't turn around, it does appear like that's the way that we're heading. But we are proud of the effort the guys have put in on the ice, yada, yada. But this guy continues to try to spin it as if everybody who's watching is a moron.
Yeah.
That he's the smartest guy in the room, and that he's playing seven-dimensional chess while we're just a bunch of, you know, koalas with smooth brains that, like, can't eat the eucalyptus leaves if they're not on the plant. Like, it's offensive. I actually feel offended when Chuck Fletcher talks at this point, because he is just trying to spin a web of a narrative that does not exist. There's no version of reality that exists in the way that Chuck Fletcher talks about it where any of this makes any kind of sense. He's done a shit job for 4 years, especially for the last 18 months, and he needs to be gone. And the sooner he's gone, the sooner that maybe they can heal this thing and maybe they can turn it around. Maybe. I don't know. I hope.
It's so wild.
We don't like to talk about a good team, right?
It's wild that you just said that, because I don't know. How long was it now that Fletcher was hired? Was it 4 or 5 years ago? But it doesn't even seem that long that he's been here, but
it was 19, wasn't it? Or was it 18?
Was it 19?
It was like very late 18, I think.
I remember thinking the same thing when Hextall was fired.
It was 2018. It was the fall of 18 is when Hextall got fired. He got fired on Black Friday. Right, so that was 2018. And then Fletcher came in not long after. So that would have been early 2019.
Yeah, about right.
So he would be coming up on his four-year anniversary.
And that's all you need.
If we're to believe that there is any kind of, you know, Christmas spirit, there's, you know, a chubby man in a suit ready to come down your chimney, I hope he brings a pink slip to Chuck Fletcher for Christmas. Or Hanukkah, I don't know, or a tree, whatever Chuck Fletcher believes in. I just hope that the mensch on the bench brings Chuck Fletcher his pink slip.
Mensch
I don't know.
Bench.
You know?
I think it's common. I don't know how soon, but it does feel kind of weird right now. It feels like the Torts is, he's talking about Chuck in the media, basically, and then you have Chuck coming out right after Tortorella. It's such a contrast in personalities where you don't always have to agree what Tortorella is saying, but he's telling the truth with whatever it is. Whether you agree with it or not, it's how he feels and how he sees things. You're seeing his perspective. Fletcher is like, he's like the typical, just the corporate GM. And I think that's why he was brought in the first place, because, I mean, that's what the Flyers are. I mean, they've always been, but that's what they are now, is they're a corporation. And he was the perfect corporate guy to bring in, a yes guy. You know, I think he's easy to control. And when you listen to Torts and then they trot out Chuck Fletcher right after Tortorella, it's almost kind of like, you can see, like you said, how dare you lie to us? Like, we're not stupid. We know what's going on. 5 points out of the playoffs? Come on, dude. This team ain't making the playoffs. Like, we know what we're watching. Carter Hart's, if it wasn't for Carter Hart, this team might have 3-4 wins.
Yeah.
Right? Like, come on. Like, what the hell is his name? I don't even know his name. Lucas Sedlak is playing top two centerman. It's like, give me a break, dude. Nobody wants to see this team in the playoffs.
Chuck Fletcher's milquetoast. He's boring. Yes. He is unimaginative. He's unable to find value along the margins. It's been the thing that I've railed against him for, again, for like the past 18 months, when it's just been like, I'm fine to give a guy the benefit of the doubt. I'm fine to give somebody a little bit of a longer leash. But like, here's where I ultimately fall. By the way, a little bit of news. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. I don't know if this is doing the rounds. I had a couple of people send this to me from down in the Farg. Bobby Clark and Paul Holmgren are both there tonight. Can tell you that that's not necessarily a sign that there's something imminent, but it doesn't always happen. And apparently the GM's box has been full. So, and Dave Scott is on the premises. That has also been confirmed. So I'm not saying that it's tonight, guys. But if it is, I reported it first. But, you know, there are a lot of people in that area. And I think it's very clear that, like, this is going to go down. I don't think he's going to make it to January 1st, right? I don't see it. But ultimately, like, the thing that continues to just perplex me, and this is why I've been so frustrated with him remaining in control here, is that if Chuck Fletcher were a new GM, if he were a new executive in the NHL, and he were making some of the mistakes that he's made, I'd be frustrated, and I might even call for his job, but I'd be willing to give him a bit of time. Like the COVID excuse, if he had been a first or second year GM, I would have given him the time, because that is hard. Like, especially if it's like your first major gig. But it wasn't. And now he's had multiple off seasons that he's ever seen, and multiple trade deadlines that he's overseen, and he hasn't come out ahead. And in a lot of cases, he doubles down on his bad decisions. And so it's just, you know, my big concern, and this is why, like, I'm very hopeful, and I am of the belief that he'll be let go soon. The thing, if you're a Flyers fan and you want to see things turn around, is I don't want to see him be the one who clears Kevin Hayes off the books if there is currently interest in Kevin Hayes from other teams. I do think that, like, Kevin Hayes should be gone. And I do think that Chuck Fletcher should do the Flyers a solid by getting rid of him. But if there actually is interest, I think it should get to go to the next guy who comes in and gets to have, like, a little bit of a PR boost right off the bat. You know, this guy cleared out a mistake from the previous GM. Boom, Kevin Hayes is gone. You know, I would be very interested to see, you know, if Danny Briere was not a dissenting voice in Rasmus Ristolainen. Do we see Rasmus Ristolainen popping up in trade rumors? Do we see him moved by the offseason? Do we see Travis Sanheim move? I don't think we will. I think Sanheim's going to actually be here for the majority of that contract. But, like, does the next GM come in, work in tandem with Tortorella, and try to undo as many of the bad deals that Chuck Fletcher gave? You know?
He has to.
You would think so. I just think it's an unfair position for anybody to be put in to be like, hey, by the way, here are two Albatross contracts you definitely are going to need to clear off the books in order for this team to have any shot of going after a free agent. Or even, like, this is where I come back to, like, the value along the margins. There are some players that you're able to go out and sign to, like, lower value deals on reclamation projects, but you believe they have the ability to do something. You can't sign those guys if you're up against the cap.
Right.
And that's the other problem that this team has. You know, it's just it just continues to be, you know, so frustrating. And by the way, Ellis being out for the year, Ellis will never play again, right? That's where we're at. We're at Ellis is never going to play again. Probably won't retire. So are we going to play this, like, we're going to do this dance every year where he's on the roster through the summer, and then we've got to, like, do some paper moves to be able to have enough space to be able to go over and then put him on an LTIR? Is that what we're doing? Is that what Chuck Fletcher got us into? Thanks, dude. Like, that's great. You know?
See, that's where I think he bit himself in the ass is a lot of the moves that he made after he went out and got Niskanen and, you know, shored up the defense with Braun. And there was another move in there. I can't recall what it was. But I think a lot of the moves he made out of hope, it seems like. Like, oh, we'll trade for Ellis. We'll hope that he's going to make it. We'll hope that he's going to be okay. We'll trade for Niskanen, whether he was blindsided by his retirement or not. You know, we'll hope he pans out and sticks around for a little while. Because I have to think that he had to have known something, that it could have been his last year or whatever. You know, and then moves like Ristolainen, reclamation project. You know, they gave up a first round pick. I'm not sure how the prospect's doing. What was his name? Isaac Rosen or something. Couldn't tell you how he's doing in whatever league he's in. But they traded for a player where they hoped that they could fix him. And then they re-signed him to a deal, and he wasn't anywhere close to being fixed, you know?
They could have legitimately, like, recouped some of the value, not a first-rounder. They could have recouped some value at the trade deadline. And send him off to a playoff contender. And if they really did love the intangibles and what he could bring to the team, they could have just made him an offer again in the offseason.
Right.
There's nothing to preclude them from doing it. And it was very clear at the end of last year they weren't going to be making the playoffs. This is, again, it's like where you find the value in the margins. Like, make that move. Try to recoup some value. And then pursue the player again if you want. By the way, the Niskanen thing is the funniest shit. Because if you think back to, like, how that went down, Niskanen had been leaning towards being done. And if you remember, Fletcher admitted that they had a chat on their way back from the bubble. Mm-hmm. Niskanen's driving, Niskanen was driving in his truck, and Fletcher's driving home. And they talk for a couple hours on the phone. And Niskanen's like, I'm out. Like, I am done. And Chuck admitted publicly to saying something to the effect of, well, I'm going to, like, let's not say that yet. Let's give you some time to think about it. This is what happens when your significant other that you dated in high school or in college decides that, like, they need space. And you're like, well, I don't think you really want space. Let's just talk about it. Like, we'll come back. Let's come back to this in a little bit. That's what Chuck Fletcher did. He was the person getting dumped and was like, well, listen, it's okay. Like, we could figure it out. You need to go, like, do some other stuff. You know, it's okay. I'll be here.
Back. Right. You'll change your mind.
Yeah, you say the thing about hope. I said on Snow the Goalie today, like, you can't build a team on hope.
Right.
You can't.
You need to know.
There is no winning team in professional sports that's built on hope.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't work like that.
Maybe like one guy is a reclamation project, and that doesn't cost him. Like whoever, like let's say Morgan Frost is traded. Not even that he's, you know, that good of a player yet, but he's a guy you trade for, and you hope that he figures it out because he's, you know, low cost. You might not have to give anything crazy up for him, and you know he's not signed past this year. All right, let's see if he can figure it out. And then
Tippett was kind of that way,
right?
You know, you had hoped that Tippett was going to be able to find some version of the form that, you know, Florida thought they were getting when they took him, right?
Exactly.
And like, that's the kind of – that's one move that you make on hope, though. That's not building an entire team. That's not saying, you know, we hope that Kevin Hayes is going to recover from another core surgery and not suffer a setback. We hope that Sean Couturier isn't going to have a second back surgery that could like alter his, you know, his quality of life, not only his ability to play hockey. You know, it's not, we hope that Ryan Ellis is going to magically find the fountain of youth or like, you know, something majestic and magical and, you know, that's going to come out of nowhere and fix him. You know, like you hoped on all those things. And none of it worked. Like, I genuinely do think, though, you know, we go back to the aggressive retool line. I think that what Chuck Fletcher learned this past offseason is that he doesn't have friends in the league like he thought he did. I don't think that Chuck Fletcher went into the offseason saying, we're going to build a crap team. I think what Chuck Fletcher thought was going to happen, I'm convinced on this one too. I'll get this confirmed at some point. I think Chuck Fletcher went into the offseason and he said, I have James Van Riemsdyk, who can put 20 to 25 goals in on a good team, can play power play minutes, and has 1 year left on this contract that I didn't give him, Ron Hextall. And Chuck Fletcher said, I think that I can move that deal in the offseason. Once some teams make moves and realize they don't have goal scorers, I'm going to be able to clear that money, and then I'm going to be able to do something with that money. What that something is, it's up for debate. But I think he genuinely went into the offseason saying, I think I can use that cap space, like banking on the idea that JVR would be off the books. And what he learned is that there was nobody willing to play ball. And that had to hurt. Like, I do think that, like, you spent all these years, your dad was a GM in the league, you've been a GM in the league yourself, and there's not one other front office executive of even a bad team with cap space that says, yeah, Chuck, I'll help you out. But not one.
I agree with everything that you just said, right? Because if you're him, it's not a bad idea. Like, it's conceivable that that could happen, right? And I thought the same thing, man. This guy's got either everybody thinks this guy is an idiot, or he doesn't have, like you said, friends that, you know, like he thought he did, because nobody gave him anything. Like, if he could have even retained money on JVR just to move a chunk of salary off the books, and you know, you could figure it out from there. But he didn't get anything, and it's like,
what was the contract that got that ended up getting moved like a week later? Wasn't it Carlson, who had like 3 more years at like 7.5 or something? It was like some other ridiculous thing, and like he's way older than JBR, and it was just like a, you know, they can move, another GM can move this contract, but Chuck couldn't move 1 year of JBR. Again, this is why like it was so frustrating that they went into this season with this guy in power, because he also could have, hear me out, he could have moved JBR last off, he could have moved him last season, could have moved him last deadline. Could have eaten some of the salary last season. It's insanity. But you know what? Like, again, he'll be gone soon. If the meeting of the minds hasn't already happened at Wells Fargo Center tonight, I expect that it will happen at some point very soon. And our national nightmare will be over. My concern is what happens going forward, because I'm not convinced that Danny Briere is the guy to lead this team to the promised land. And I certainly hope that this ownership is going to do what they need to do, which is comb the league for the best young executives, best up-and-coming executives, do a thorough search, and then pick the best candidate. And then put that person in a room with John Tortorella, build a vision for the team, and have at it.
Yep. I agree.
I think you turn around pretty quickly.
I don't think there can be any harm in waiting a little bit. You know, and obviously Briere's going to have to go through the interview process too. Just because he's here doesn't mean he doesn't have to go through the process. And, you know, he can be a part of all that. And if he doesn't turn out to be the guy and ends up, you know, getting hired somewhere else, so be it. Well, I would like to see him become the GM just because I'm a Briere fan. Let's see what happens. He would be a fan favorite kind of thing. What I wouldn't want to see happen is what happened to Hextall, because I actually liked Hextall before he ended up becoming the GM. Now I can't stand the guy. Here's the thing, though. But here's the difference between Hextall and Fletcher. So I respect Ron Hextall because he had a plan and stuck with it, even though I hate him for it, right? He still had a set of nuts and stuck, you know, and if anyone tried to change his plan, he said, hey, F off, this is my team, this is what I want to do. I respect that. Because when he was fired, he went down doing it his way. Whereas Fletcher, I get the idea, and, you know, based off, you know, talking to different people, it sounds like he's taking direction from a lot of different people, and it just kind of sounds like he's wishy-washy, and I have a hard time respecting guys who don't kind of stand up for themselves and do things their way. That's just based off what I heard. It could not be true, and I could be misjudging the guy, but he just kind of seems like a wet noodle, you know what I mean? So, he's just there. It's like, yeah, I don't know. It's like you said, whenever he talks, it's like he's offending somebody because you know he's full of shit, and you'd just rather not hear from him. It's like Dave Scott. Like, I would rather not hear from Dave Scott. You know, he's got nothing of value to say kind of thing. And you know, you're already getting the truth from Tortorella, so what's Chuck Fletcher going to tell you kind of deal? He's going to tell you, he's going to report on injuries. And even still, you don't know when the hell guys are coming back because he's not telling you the truth there either.
Yep.
But now we've kept you over a period, man. I don't know if you have to run, but you're welcome to stay as long as you want.
I mean, I feel bad. I don't know what happened to Jack. Did I offend Jack? Did I upset Jack?
He just had a kid, I think a year ago too. So he might be with the kid or maybe
handling, handling a child.
Yeah, but it's up to you if you want to hang out. You know what I was curious about.
Listen, Chuck, I was planning on leaving, but you know, I'll hang in here for a little bit.
One more for you then.
I feel bad. You can call me Niski for the rest of this.
Niski?
Yeah, you can call me Niski, I'll call you Chuck. It'll be fine.
All right, you got it.
By the way, is that the Brahma bull on your hat? Is that what I'm seeing there?
Yeah, I'm not a big rock guy, but I like this hat. And you know what? Here, I'll show you this. Do you know what this is on the back? Do you know what that means? This little thing here with all these loops? So I had just thought that it was a cool hat, you know, and it was like, oh, this is a new...
Is that a thing for braids to go through?
Yeah, it's for braids. This is a girl hat. So I've been wearing this for about a
girl hat. Are you saying guys can't have braids?
I guess. I don't know. My girl was calling out. She goes, you know, that's for ponytails, right? Yeah.
Sexist Jim.
Who said? Yeah. So, you know, I've been wearing women's clothes for the last 2 months. I love this hat, though. Yeah, not a huge rock guy, but nice hat. So, but yeah. Real quick, so I've been seeing your post stuff about Kevin Hayes. Could be, you know, if he is no trade clause, or what was it, no movement clause, right?
Like, this year it went from no movement to a modified no trade. I believe it's 12 team on the list.
He can be traded now, right? As long as it's to a team that's not on the list. And, point per game guy. We've been talking about it, we have a group chat. We've been talking about it in the group for a while. I mentioned Hayes, I don't know, maybe a month ago or something, and I saw you post a couple tweets. Is it realistic that he could potentially be moved? I mean, so a team that comes to mind for me, he's from Boston, obviously. You know, Boston may be without Bergeron and Krejci after this season. That's a significant amount of salary that comes off the books. All of a sudden, they're in need of a center. Is it possible that Kevin Hayes is moved more so in the offseason, I would expect it. But do you see him potentially, realistically, because I know we all would like to see it happen, realistically being moved?
I don't think there's a chance he goes to Boston. I don't think Boston is stupid enough. Yeah. There have been like legitimate questions, and I'm not going to dive into this much, but there have been legitimate questions about like Kevin Hayes in the past, like the off-ice guy, even more so than Kevin Hayes, the on-ice player. And so if I were a team looking to build around a young team, I would not want Kevin Hayes to be on my team.
Okay.
I wouldn't want him to be around a young core. And if anybody out there watching, listening, thinks that that's like outlandish to say, I merely point to the fact that John Tortorella, who came in, who's a well-respected head coach in this league, chose not to put an A on Kevin Hayes' sweater and has effectively berated the guy in public for his lack of all-situation ability and his lack of defensive awareness. And Tortorella did not exactly go to bat to do what Chuck did last year, which is pacify Hayes by bringing in a bunch of his buddies. I will say, without totally crapping on the situation, he did bring in some of those friends prior to the tragedy around Kevin Hayes' brother. And ultimately, it probably was a good thing for him as a human being that he had those guys around. So I don't want to crap on that. Like that, the human element of that is very true. That is important to note. But that did not happen this year. You didn't see them go out of their way to kind of to bring his boys in this season. I think that there's a chance the team picks him up. I think that there's if you're a playoff team and Philadelphia will eat a few million of that deal for each of the next three seasons, there is a potential path if you can bring Kevin Hayes in to be a 3C like he should be. The problem, and we talked about this today, you know, Bundy was very much of the opinion that, like, Kevin Hayes is an all-situations player, and he's not responsible defensively, so you really don't want him playing a third-line role that also has PK to it. He's not skilled enough, really, to be a power play guy, so you're kind of cutting that part out. You're kind of looking for him to come in and, like, I don't know, create from the center position, so, like, if you're a playoff-bound team who maybe has suffered an injury and needs a 3C and is willing to pay a few million dollars and convince Philly to pick up $3 million a year, then yeah, like there's a path if he keeps up this point production. If he falls off a cliff here for like the next month, then he will have screwed the team because there will be no value. If he keeps up even being close to a point per game guy, yeah, there are a lot of GMs in this league who will look the other way on a bunch of other stuff and they'll say, like, this guy can... He can put up some points for us. He's had a letter on a sweater in the past, and like we think we can build with him. And sure, I think it's the very like this is stupid. I talked way too much. The short answer is yes. There's a way that it could happen, and it's much more plausible now than it was at the start of the season. That was short.
That's kind of the sense I get through. I mean, his value is never going to be higher than it is right now. I mean, his point per game guys. That's all he's really good for is his offense. And then when you think about it like that, too, it makes Chuck look even worse. And he paid this guy $7 million. I don't think he ever scored more than 50-some points in his career, and you paid him like a top-line center. It's got to be now. And you just got to hope that he remains a point-per-game guy until the end of the season. And then, yeah, like you said, all right. So,
kind of. This is why you need to fire Chuck sooner than later, though, because remember, this came up with JVR. I think, was it last season? Like, the first half of the season, he started popping some goals in. He went on a hot streak and was like, sell high now, sell him before he goes into his doldrums. Don't do it. Make sure you sell him. Don't buy into it. And Chuck was like, well, we're close enough to a playoff spot. And when you have a goal scorer like that, you really can't teach that kind of skill. And he's got real value for us. Sure. And then he fell apart. So if you don't learn from the mistakes of the past, you're going to repeat them. And that's why it's like, if say the Flyers were to fire Chuck tonight, say they were to fire him in the week, at least whoever comes in, I would have more faith is going to be willing and able to move Kevin Hayes if there is a market for him sooner than later. Not hold out to the trade deadline, because anybody with a brain is going to look at this and say, you know what? Now's the time to sell. He will never be more valuable than he is right now. That's it.
100% agree. It's got to be. You have to find a way. Got to find a way to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Jack, any parting thoughts on that topic before we let Russ go?
Not much more to add. I couldn't agree more. I was hoping Boston was more of a potential destination. Sounds like probably not. They are a smarter organization. It's going to be tough. It's going to be painful. Holding out hope that, you know, Russ broke the news and Fletcher's gone as to tonight, and somebody with a brainstem can get in there and make things happen.
Remember, I never said that he's getting fired tonight, unless he gets fired, in which case.
Yeah, we know. We got that.
Yes.
That's how it would have went down for sure. If he doesn't get if he doesn't get fired, he never said it. We know.
I realize this is like very Trumpian. Like that was like the line on election night, right? He was like, if these people win, I should get all the credit.
Yeah.
But if they lose, then I should get none of the blame.
Right.
I love that playbook. I want that one. So let's see. I would say, as a sports betting editor, I would say that my guess is that if we set the over under at December 8th, he's gone before then. Take the under.
Wow.
He'll be gone before the end of next week.
So in the next week, he's gone.
Yeah.
I'll be in Florida for that, too.
Hey, there's Kevin Hayes on the screen, by the way. Look at him pushing that graphic away. Attaboy, Kevin. Attaboy.
So, we made it through a period and a half with you. Thanks for hanging out, Russ.
And you didn't jump out a window, so how about that? We found some positivity. There's a lot of positivity. It just happens when Chuck Fletcher is gone. So
right.
Everybody, you know, go find the elf on the shelf. Go find the mensch on the bench. Give him a little rub on the back.
Take him away. Whisk Chuck Fletcher away.
Can we, like, make him a house elf? Can we, like, put him in... Can we treat Chuck Fletcher like he's a house elf? And the only way to, like, set him free of, like, the NHL is, like, somebody's got to be willing to give him a sock. This is like a Harry Potter thing, right? Like, will anybody give Chuck a sock? And what we learned this past offseason is, we just said, Jim, is no. No other GM's going to give him a sock. He's going to live in NHL purgatory. Here's the real fun thing. If Chuck Fletcher gets fired, how long does it take? Oh, 2-0.
Yeah.
If Chuck Fletcher gets fired, how long does it take for him to land on his feet with another NHL gig? Because I'd guess it has to happen, right? Or does it?
Assistant, maybe? You think he gets the head gig? I don't know.
Yo, what an indictment it would be on him as an executive, though, if he got fired and didn't resurface. We have seen some horrific executives land on their feet multiple times. If he's unable to get a job in this league in any kind of a prominent role, imagine that.
Yeah, I don't.
Because then you go back to this 4-year stretch and you go, yeah, all those extra chances you were willing to give him, were they worth it? Nay, nay.
I had heard during, I think it was towards the end of the season, whenever they have the GM meetings down in Florida, I had heard he was looking for a job because I think he thought he was going to get fired. I don't know how true that is. But I heard he was asking around, seeing if anybody had anything available, just in case.
Just in case.
I thought he was gone after I heard that. I'm like, this guy, he sees the writing on the wall, you know, something, you know, he's done. He's asking around for jobs. He thinks he's done. And they kept him around, which was weird. So, yeah, I don't think he does resurface, unless there's somebody out there going, well, you know, he just had bad luck up there. And, you know, things will change for him, but... I think his track record is too long now, and he's just a mediocre. I think he's just a bad GM when you look at
him. I thought he was
very, very mediocre.
I thought he was mediocre. Now I think he's bad.
Yeah, like the moves he's made, only a bad GM would make these moves. So it's, you know, I was giving him the benefit of the doubt for a long time, but after.
Here's the homework, guys. Think about, in your lifetime, has there been a worse executive than Chuck Fletcher? For a Philadelphia sports team, I want you to actually think about it. Like when you're laying your head on your pillow tonight and you're like trying to doze off into dreamland, all right? I want you to think back to the dulcet tones of my voice as I say, has there ever been a worse executive than Chuck Fletcher? And what you're going to find is no, there hasn't been.
Not even, what's his name from the Sixers? The burner account guy.
Oh, Colangelo. Yeah. No, because... The thing, it, I have compared them a lot, but like Brian Colangelo had actually won an Executive of the Year job. He won the award, Executive of the Year, when he was out with the Phoenix Suns. Mm-hmm. So like he had done it on his own volition. His daddy got him.
I was going to say, did he actually earn it, or his daddy?
Yeah, I mean, his daddy got him the Sixers job, but in fairness, like vis-a-vis Chuck Fletcher's daddy also got him this job, sort of in a way. So yeah. Anyway, it's been lovely chatting with you guys.
It was fun. I feel like it's, what was that, the first time? Did we have you on earlier this year, or was that over the summer?
I don't even remember, man.
Yeah, time flies.
Life's a blur. But I'll tell you, it was lovely to chat with you guys. And when Chuck Fletcher's fired and you hear like a massive explosion, like a huge fireworks display, I'm not saying it's me. not saying
it's going to say, I told you so in fireworks. It's going
to
be
funny. I have just been insufferable to some people, and I will be the most insufferable human being. Like, I've thought about going back and like clipping old podcasts and be like, I just want to remind everybody that I've been saying for 18 months, this guy is milquetoast. He's not.
You deserve the credit. If you're right, you deserve the credit. And you deserve, I mean, if you're right about something and people are telling you you're annoying, you have the right to be annoying because you were right. You know,
That's exactly right. So the next time that Jason Mertedis tries to spin his propaganda, I just want everybody to remember he was wrong and I was right. And that's all that matters. So.
All right,
anyway, guys.
You got it, Russ. Always a pleasure, man. We'll let you go. I know you got some kids you got to get to over there. You got an army.
Got an army with another one on the way. So God help us. So
congratulations.
All right, guys.
Merry Christmas. Enjoy your holidays.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Bench on the bench.
Take care, Russ. All right, there he is. Well, while we were chatting with Rush, the Flyers go down 2-0. Nick Paul with a pair of goals. I think Steven Stamkos just scored his 1,000th point. Is that why they were all out there?
Yes, that's why, yep.
All right, well, F that, Stamkos.
Hey, HW listeners. Thanks for listening to part one of our 3-part live stream episode featuring Rush Joy of Snow the Goalie. The episode continues on to part two and then part three, featuring Derek Bob of the Pod Street Bullies. Thanks for listening as always, and let's go Flyers.